Blog Talk Radio.
Let me just say, if we were to put up a chain link fence or a gate, You guys did some posts, and you put those posts in the ground, and you anchor them in, and you cement them in. And after you cement them in, then you put your gate up, and you pull, and you stretch it tight, and then you put a opening. But then on that opening is a hinge that a lock may go through that only one person normally has the key to get in and out. Well, that should be the same thing with your spouse. There should be only one person with that key and that to get in and out that has access. But now, if you're not doing what it takes, well, what you've done is you've given anybody else the key, and that means everybody has access. And if I'm talking kind of funny this evening, I got my braces off, I got these retainers in, it's kind of rough to talk, so it sounds like I'm lisping to myself. So now how do we keep those gates closed? How do we keep those doors closed? I mean, how do we keep the people from entering in? Well, no one can enter in if I'm taking care of my business. If I'm showering her with the words of affection, I'm telling her that she's wonderful, I'm telling her that she's beautiful, I'm telling her that she's gorgeous, I'm telling her that she's the best wife there is, well then, no way, you can't come in there. But if I'm leaving all that open, and I'm not telling her how wonderful she is, I'm not telling her how beautiful she is, or I'm not giving her, showering her with those things, well then that's open, that's open territory. That means when somebody else comes along and begins to pour into them, then they wind up getting lured away. You know, and it's funny that women will know when a man is lacking. A woman will look at another man, a woman will look at another woman's man, and know when she's not taking care of business. So now, if that's the case, that means we got to jump on top of our business. We got to be on top of it. We got to be taking care of our business. There should be nobody else that has the key to communication to my wife. There should be nobody else that has the key to get in the gate of love. There should be nobody else that has the key to get in the gate of sex or get in the gate of a romance but me. Those keys belong to me. And anybody else coming and not using a key is a thief and a robber, because the key gives me access. The key says that I have the permission to go in and out as I please. But if I don't have a key and I come in, well, then I'm coming in as a thief and a robber. Now, I'm not coming in as a thief and a robber if the person that has the key is not doing what they should be doing, then you just left it wide open. You allowed them to come in. You left the gate open. And I think that's the problem with a lot of relationships, that we leave the gate open. I need you to ask yourself a question on this evening. Have you made sure that your gates are locked? Okay. Have you made sure the gates around the person that you're in covenant with, the person that you're in a relationship with, have you made sure the gates that are around their heart, the gates that are around their emotion, have you made sure you lock them? Now, how do I lock the gates? Well, I lock the gates by loving that person. I lock the gates by respecting that person. I lock the gates by honoring that person. I lock the gates by doing what that person needs to feel safe on the inside. A gate makes you feel safe. So now that's why we put gates around. What? For safety, for protection. Like I said earlier, to keep things in, to keep things out. So now, if the person you're with don't feel safe, and then maybe you left the gate open. Maybe you didn't put the lock in. What is the lock? That padlock you stick through there, and you lock it, that master lock. Maybe you didn't put the padlock of love on. You didn't put the padlock of intimacy on. You didn't put the padlock of romance on. Because see now, when you don't lock it, as I stated, it's open. So some other brother comes along, some other woman comes along, and begin to whisper sweet nothings or say all the things that this person wants to hear, and before you know it, they're lured away. And then you're left wondering, well, what happened? You know, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Sometimes we need to sit down with the person we're in a relationship with and ask questions. Are we doing all that we need to do? Am I doing the stuff I need to do to make you feel safe, to make you feel secure? Am I doing the things that you need? Am I giving you what you need that I know that the gates are still closed? Am I giving you all the stuff that you – and see, we don't ask those questions. We just take it upon ourselves to assume that I'm doing my job. But are you? The only person that can tell you that you're doing your job is the person that has the ability to evaluate the job you're doing. Now, the person that has the ability to evaluate the job you're doing is the person that you're in the relationship with. They have the ability to evaluate you, to tell you if you're being a good husband, if you're being a good wife, if you're being a friend, if you're being a good lover, if you're being a good communicator. I can take it up on myself all day long and say, hey, I'm doing the thing. But now, has the person I'm in the relationship with told me that I'm doing the thing? Until they say I'm doing it, then there's nothing there. We ask often over here, okay, and that's a good thing. I thank God for that, Sister Anisha, that you guys ask often, because a lot of people don't ask that. They just assume. Most jobs you work on will give you a 90, a year, or a 90-day, a 60-day, a year evaluation. They'll evaluate you every year to let you know your job performance. They'll evaluate you to let you know if you're doing a good job. And so now, when they evaluate you, they'll tell you if you've been late. They'll tell you the areas you need to come up in. They'll tell you, you know, all these great things. Or if you've done a wonderful job, you wind up getting employee of the month, employee of the year. Well, I've come to ask some of you guys, have you got husband of the year? Have you got wife of the year? Can you ask your spouse, hey, am I doing a good job? Am I covering all the bases? Are all the gates closed? Is the gate of intimacy closed? Now, if you need more intimacy, tell me. And I'm not talking, when I say intimacy, I'm not talking about sex. From a clinician standpoint, intimacy means to see into me. Am I allowing you to see into me? Am I giving you enough intimacy? Are you getting enough from me? So these are questions that have to be asked. Now, I can tell myself all day long in the bedroom, I'm the man, I'm putting it down. But now, is that what this person is saying? Have you asked them, you know, has our love life gotten stale? Has it gotten cold? Has our love life gotten boring? You know, has our sexual life gotten boring? Is it the same thing every night, the same place, the same time? What do I need to do to spice it up that I make sure the gate is closed, that everything is secure back here, you know? The same thing with any other portion of the relationship. But that's the case of the pop-up. Sister Anisha said, thank you for that definition of intimacy. Intimacy. Probably saying with these retainers there. Intimacy. To see into me. That's true intimacy. Because we've always related intimacy to sex. Now, intimacy can lead to sex. Intimacy can lead to lovemaking. When you begin to divulge your most inner self to someone, that becomes, to a woman especially, that becomes sexy to her. When a man begins to tell her his fears, his wants, his desires, his aspirations, his dreams, and begin to really let her see into him who he really is. And to her, that becomes sexy because now the gate is closing. That gate of who is he talking to? Who is he telling this stuff to? Who is he really communicating with? See, we even got to keep the gate of communication closed. You know, I got to be willing to communicate with my spouse. Not no general communication. How was your day? I was fine. What did you cook for dinner? I was okay. What? And we consider that communication. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, sitting down, conversating about one another, about the relationship, about life, where you want to go, what do you want to do, where are we going to be 10 years from now, Now, how are we going to get there? Where are we going to live? And this is the communication I'm talking about. What do you want to talk about? And when we begin to communicate like that, that closes that gate again. That means she don't need that mental stimulation from someplace else. Because, see, here's the deal. When the gate is open, what you've allowed someone else to come in and stimulate, I don't care what area it is, stimulate sexually, stimulate intimacy, stimulate communication-wise, just so many other areas that you wind up leaving it open, you know, and women, we know they like to communicate. So now if you're not communicating with her, well, then who is she communicating with? Let's flip it. Women, brothers like lovemaking. If you're not sleeping with them, then who's he sleeping with? And then if you're not doing it now, let's deal with Bible, because we know we'll always give you Bible. The Bible says, husbands, render unto the wife her due benevolence, which means render unto the wife her sexual privileges. And then it says, wife, render unto the husband his due benevolence, meaning that you're to give each other what they need. For the Bible says your body is not your own. Now, if that's case in point, well, then if I'm not doing it and I'm not treating you that way, then who else is doing it? That means I've left the gate open. And a lot of times we leave the gate open and then we're upset when someone else has captivated the mind or the heart or the emotions of the person that you're with. How can I get mad? Okay, let's go back to my analogy of the pet. How can I get mad of the pet? I'm not feeding it. I don't give it any water. I don't play with it. I don't take care of it. I don't bathe it. I don't do anything with it. And then I haul off and I leave the gate open and somebody else comes along, pets it, rubs it, strokes it, feeds it, and it leaves. But then when I come home and recognize, my dog is gone. Where'd he go? Now I'm all upset and mad. Well, first of all, you weren't taking care of it. Then, second of all, you had nerve enough to leave the gate open. How are you going to leave the gate open on something you're not taking care of? Now, when you take care of it, what are you doing? You're closing. Look, everybody do it with me. You're closing the gate when you take care of it. When you take care of your responsibility, what are you doing? You're closing that gate. Now, if a person here's my thing. I know what people say. Well, people are going to be people. They're going to do what they want to do. You know, people are always looking on the other side of this and see they thinking the grass is greener. But if I'm taking care of what I need and I'm doing what I need to do here, there's no reason for them to look on the other side of the fence because they recognize how plush the grass is in the yard they're in. But see, most people fail to tell you when that person is looking on the other side of the fence, seeing how green the grass is, that's because your yard got some brown patches in it. Your yard got some areas that need cultivating and tilling and molding and some fertilizer put down there, some love and tender care given to it. But then I get mad because the person is looking. I never understood that analogy. Because why do I look on the other side of the fence and figure the grass is greener if I know my grass is just super green? And here's the problem. Some of y'all have just got lazy and put down AstroTurf. It's really everything in your relationship, because you have not asked, you have not checked, is AstroTurf. It's nothing but a green facade. There are a bunch of homes around here where I live, and me and my wife pass them all the time and look and go, wow, look how green their grass is. Come to realize it's not green grass, it's AstroTurf. It's a fake grass, it's not real. And some of you guys, because you really don't want to put the work in, you don't want to take the time, well, what happens is you wind up having AstroTurf as a relationship. Let me tell you about AstroTurf. AstroTurf will take the sun, it will take the rain, but it's not comfortable to lay on. Real grass, when it's green and it's taken care of, it's comfortable. And not just that, real grass lets off oxygen. It gives vitamins. It produces stuff. AstroTurf is man-made. It's false. It's fake. It don't produce anything. And so now what we have to do is we have to take time to say, you know something? And let me tell you this. We talked about last week rebuilding relationship. If your relationship is broke down, you can peel that grass, break up all that stuff, tear all that grass up and say, you know what? I'm going to start over again. I'm going to start replanting. And see, now when you start replanting, you got to put the gate up because I don't need anybody walking in here. I don't need anybody walking on my grass. So now what I do is I put the gate up, and then I start sprinkling seeds down. Seeds, you say, seeds, what seeds? A seed of communication, a seed of love, seeds of respect, seeds of intimacy. See, when you sprinkle these seeds down, they'll begin to blossom and grow. And sooner or later, you look and go, wow, I got a green grass here. I got a yard here. But see, most of us don't want to put in the time. Lord, I rebuke AstroTurf in the name of you. Right. Most of us don't want to put in the time. See, when you plant a lawn, it takes time. You don't plant a lawn overnight. It takes some work. You got to get out there and you got to turn the soil. You gotta put up stuff to prevent people from coming in. It takes work. And most of us, but see, somebody that really wants a lush lawn, a lawn where when people pass down the street, they look at your lawn and go, God, I want a lawn like that. How many guys are saying to yourself, you want somebody to look at your relationship and say, I want a relationship like that. I want my husband to look at me like that. I want my wife to treat me that way. But see, you're not asking yourself the question, what are they doing to get it that way? Like the old saying says, we do look on the other side of the fence to see the grass is greener. But did you ask yourself a question, what did they do to get it that green? How did they get their relationship that way? How did they become so tight and jointly fit together? How did they get it that way? We all desire it, but I don't think most of us are willing to do what it takes to get it. And what we're talking about on this evening is keeping the gates closed. How do I keep those gates closed? The only way you're going to figure out is how to keep those gates closed is ask the person that you're in the relationship with, what do I need to do to make sure the gate stays closed? You tell me. Because you're the only person that can tell me what I need to do. I can't figure this out on my own. A lot of times we feel, since we're grown, we're adults, I just know what to do. No, you don't. Let me tell you why you don't know what to do. I don't care what you did with the last person you were in a relationship with. When you go in a new relationship, that's a new person. Maybe you've been married before. Maybe your last husband or your last wife, you did X, Y, and Z. Maybe that was okay for them. Maybe that was enough. Maybe that's all they needed. Now you're in a relationship with somebody else. You can't just assume what you did for the last person is working for this person. Okay, I'll go back to the grass analogy. Just because you had a green lawn on 88th Street, and now you move to a new community, new town, soil's different. Just because it's dirt don't mean it's the same type of dirt. Some dirt, I have a background in construction. Before they begin to build, they do what they call a soil analysis. They take plugs out of the soil, and they see how much of it is clay. They see how much of it is rock. They see how much of it is sand. Why? They're trying to figure out how quick water will drain through it. Or do they have to run a drainage? What do they have to do before they build this house? Well, even when people that do lawns, they're going to come and they're going to inspect the dirt because they want to know what type of lawn can I put here? Can I put what type of grass can I put here? Can I put this type of grass? Can I put that type of grass? Because some grass will take a lot of water. Other grasses won't take a lot of water. So now, what do I do? So what I'm telling you is maybe you need to go back and inspect the soil that you've been trying to build a relationship on because the lawn is behind the gate. And I want the lawn behind the gate as green as any other lawn. But now it takes me to do what I need to do to get the lawn green. Go back to what I said. For me to keep the gate closed, for other people won't keep running in and out. And sometimes, now thank you, Holy Ghost, sometimes it's not even another female or male that's running in and out. Sometimes we have friends and family that are fulfilling areas in our spouse's lives that we should be fulfilling. Wonder why your girl, your woman always running out with her girlfriends? Maybe they're fulfilling the area that you should be fulfilling. You wonder why your man always hanging out with the boys? Maybe the boys are fulfilling the area that you should be fulfilling. Excuse me. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, 24th verse, "For this reason shall a man leave his mother and father, leave his father and his mother, and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You're leaving family. You're leaving friends. Why? Because everything you need is supposed to be tied up in that person that you're with. Did you catch that? Everything I need should be tied up into who? My wife. Now, you say, prove it to you. If marriage is to resemble the relationship in between Christ and the church, everything we need is tied up in who? Christ. Everything you need is tied up in God. There's nothing else I need that's not in him. He even said when I was lonely, he would be a mother to the motherless. He'd be a father to the father. So everything I need is tied up into him. So now when I get in a relationship and I'm married, that means everything I need should be in my spouse. My spouse shouldn't have to go out for communication. My spouse shouldn't have to go out for mental stimulation. My spouse shouldn't have to go out for intimacy. She shouldn't have to leave for anything that I should be giving her. And if I'm not giving it to her, then what have I done? I left the gate open. Gates wide open. Everybody. See, some brothers wonder, you know, how a woman got snatched up. Left the gate open. Some women wonder how some, you know, they man run off with some other woman. Left the gate open. And I know what you're thinking. No, I didn't leave the gate open. They just wanted it. No. Somehow, some kind of way, you left the gate open. Somewhere in there, you left the gate open. Now, you may not want to admit it. You may not want to ask yourself, where did I go wrong? Where did I leave the gate open? And sometimes, some of y'all make some people want to jump the gate, because you're not making it a pleasant atmosphere on the inside of the gate. That's all part of keeping the gate closed. There are some people that you feel that you feel you're doing a great job, and that person's trying to open the gate and get out because the job you're doing isn't that great. So now, like I say, you got to ask the person that you're in the relationship with, I need you to evaluate. I need you to give me an evaluation. Tell me, how am I doing this job? Even if you have to get a pen, write down on a piece of paper, 1 to 10, 1 to 5, 1 to 6, I don't know how many numbers. How am I doing in the sex category? How am I doing in the communication category? How am I doing in the intimacy category? How am I doing in the taking the care of the bills category? Write down a list and then present it to him and tell him, I want you to grade me. Now, here's the problem. You have to be a mature person to do something like that because you can't get offended when they give you a bad grade. Well, why are you giving me a D right here? Well, if they gave you a D, that's what you've been doing, D work. They give you a fail, that's what you've been doing, fail work. Because, see, now what you're doing, if you grade me and you tell me, now I have the opportunity to get it right. See, you're not going to get offended if you really want to get it right. You're only going to get offended if you just faking the funk. But if you really want to get it right, you really want to be a good husband, a good wife, you're not afraid to ask hard questions. How am I doing this? How do I put this in a delicate way? I've seen movies, and I've seen men, you know, in movies, and the movies I've seen, and a man, and I've even heard guys, you know, friends, you know, talk about their love-making escapades, in a sense. And the dude yelling, yeah, say my name. And the girl, yeah, your name, Fred. Yeah, Fred. Oh, Fred. Well, I got an issue with that. My issue with that, she's just doing what you asked her to do. Now, if somebody tells you, without the coercion, that you the man, well, now I agree that you the man. If somebody tells you, you the woman, without coercion, well, then I agree, you the woman. Hey, how you doing? So that's the key there. So now, as I stated, you got to ask yourself some hard questions, and you got to be willing to ask that person that you're in a relationship some hard questions about yourself. How am I doing? Am I doing a good job? Am I giving you all that you need to where you don't want to leave from behind the gate? Am I closing, every time I leave home, am I closing the gate? When you leave the house, even though you left and you're at work, do you still feel like you're safe behind the gate? Or do you feel like you're wide open? Do you feel the gate of intimacy is closed? Do you feel the gate of romance is closed? Do you feel the gate of communication is closed? Are you willing to ask the person you're with those questions? Somebody needs to even ask them tonight, if you're man enough, if you're woman enough, to ask that person, am I keeping the gate closed or is the gate wide open? Do you feel protected? Do you feel safe? You know, am I complimenting you enough? Am I telling you how wonderful of a wife or a husband that you are? Am I telling you, you know, you're gorgeous, you're beautiful? Am I letting you know that, or are you just assuming? Well, they should know. As me being a pastor and a counselor, I counsel couples, and I thought they knew. They should have known. They should know that. They should already know that I love them. Well, how? If you haven't told them. Well, I'm going to work every day. That's not it. I cook dinner. That's not it. Sometimes, even though you're doing the actions, because I've seen people go through the routine, go through the motion. Remember I just said astroturf. Are you telling the person, you know what, baby, there's none like you. You're the best thing ever happened to me. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Are you guys communicating? There are some questions that have to be asked in a relationship. And most people, the reason the relationship breaks down because most people don't ask the questions. Most people don't take the time to ask the questions. And for some reason, sometimes they don't want to find out. They don't want the answer. I'm going to read you something I'm trying to find it here. One of the Facebook responses that I got. Give me a second. But, you know, you got to ask yourself some questions. You got to be willing to, where did it go? Can't find it right now, but someone said earlier that we had to, that we had to keep the intimacy, the romance, and keep those things in the relationship if we wanted the relationship. If we wanted the relationship to stay alive, we had to do those things, and I totally agree. Because if you want the relationship to stay alive, there's some work you got to do. Here it is. It said, keep that fire going in the marriage and also remember your vows. If there's frustration, miscommunication, fussing and fighting blocks your intimacy, then maybe counseling is an option. Depends on the situation. So what they're saying is that for me to keep that fire alive, then I got to keep the frustration out. I got to keep the miscommunication out. I got to keep the fussing and fighting down. Because what does that do? That opens the gate. See, there's some things that you do that open the gate. The fussing, the fighting, the arguing, the nagging. I don't care how much lovemaking you try to do, how much romance you try to do to keep the gate closed. If behind the gate you're doing all that other stuff, that person will become a master craftsman and start picking the lock to get out. If your mate, you need to go ask your mate, hey, are you trying to pick the lock to get out? What am I doing that's causing you to pick the lock to want to get out of here? Or do you want to stay? See, because some of y'all will say right now, if they want to go, let them leave. Terrible mindset for you to say, if they want to go, let them leave. Because the average person don't want to leave a healthy, functioning, well-maintained relationship. And I know if somebody just said, well, that they left. No, they left for a reason. No, they just wanted to leave. No, nobody just wants to leave. There are reasons why a person leaves. And I know what you mean. I did everything. Did you really? Did you do all that you needed to do? Were you the best that you knew you could be? Were you trying to make sure the gates were kept closed? Were you trying to make sure the grass in your yard was properly manicured? Because like I say, people always make this statement, like, yeah, they looking on the other side of the fence because they think the grass is greener. Well, sometimes the grass is greener because you're not maintaining the grass in your own yard. You're not taking care of that grass. So, yeah, the grass is greener on the other side sometimes. So it's something you have to be willing to do. You got to be willing to take care of the grass. You got to be willing to cut it. You got to be willing to fertilize it. You got to be willing. And then, like I say, now that I'm taking care of it back here, let me keep the gate closed. How do I keep the gate closed? I keep the gate closed because I don't need you running all across. See, y'all don't get it. I don't need you running across my line. It took a lot of work to get the line this green. I don't need you running across it. I don't need you playing in it. Because this line is for one person to play in and one person only. And that's me. I'm the one putting the work to keep the grass green. I'm the one putting the work to keep it lush and beautiful. Why am I going to leave the gate open now that I've been doing all the work and let somebody else come play in it? That doesn't make any sense. I keep the gate closed is by telling the person that I'm in a relationship with how much I appreciate them, how much I love them, and then asking the question, am I giving you everything you need to stay happy in this relationship? Am I giving you what you need to stay happy back here? Or am I leaving the gate open? Am I doing what it takes to keep the gates closed? The gate of intimacy, the gate of romance. Am I doing, as I put here, the gate of the outside gate of sex, the outside gate of intimacy, the outside gate of communication, the outside gate of needs? Am I doing what it takes to keep those gates closed? You know, so those are the questions you have to ask yourself. Are you doing what it needs to keep those gates closed? You know, I mean, if we don't communicate with one another and we don't ask these questions and we just go through a life assuming, I'm telling you, when you assume, you make a fool out of yourself. Why should I assume that somebody's happy when I have a mouth and I can just ask them, are you happy? What is it you need from me? Yeah, you might have asked the question last year, but did you ask the question this year? Did you ask, are you continually asking the question? Well, the reason why you got to continue to ask the question, for people continually, we're all continually changing. We're all continually growing. I mean, when I was a kid, there are certain foods I hated, I despised, I disliked. But as I grew and I began to mature, my taste palate began to change. So some of the foods I disliked, I now like. My wife just recently made it, man, no, you couldn't tell me that I'd eat a Brussels sprout. I mean, that wasn't happening. You couldn't tell me I was going to eat a Brussels sprout. As nasty as Brussels sprouts are, my wife found a recipe, made those Brussels sprouts. Man, I eat Brussels sprouts like, man, just gobbling away. But it took her to do something different to the Brussels sprouts to get me to eat them. Okay, you said, Pastor, what are you saying? Sometimes you got to try some new stuff. If you've been doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and it's not changing, it's time for you to do some new stuff. I'm reading something. I'm reading Minister Cedric. He's going to write me a paragraph. I'm reading. And you're right. You're absolutely right. There are certain life circumstances. There are things that happen in life. There are situations that happen in life. But even with the situations and the circumstances, the things that happen in life, I still have to be willing to do all that I know to do. And when I say do all that I know to do, I got to be sure at the end of the day that I did what I need to do. Now, sometimes people will just do certain things. They'll get certain things in their own mind. They'll get stuff in their own head. And they just wig out. I believe they do. But in that, did I do everything I could do to make sure that my job was being done? Okay, I'll go back to, like I said, I gave that example of the pet. There's some dogs in there. There's some pets that you can have. I don't care how many gates you put up. I don't care how many walls you put up. I don't care how well you treat them. I don't care the food you give them. I just don't care. They're going to try their best to dig out that yard. I had a dog. I mean, man, I treated this dog like a human being. When he rode in the car with us and we stopped at Burger King, we bought his food too. But that dog would try to dig out the yard, so help me. It was like, I don't care what we did. He just didn't want to be there. Well, you have some folks that are just like that, that feel, I don't care how lush like I said, you will make the grass. They will feel it's greener on the other side of the fence. And I'll go into to say what my mother used to always tell us. Some people don't believe fat meat is greasy. You're not going to believe it till you get on the other side and you find out it's not the way it was. Then you want to come back home. But now it's too late. I done closed the gate and got somebody else behind the gate, somebody else wallowing in the grass, somebody else getting treated well, and now it's too late to come back. You know? So my thing, the only thing I'm trying to promote tonight is if we're going to be in relationships, just make sure that we're doing all we can, that we're just not sitting back just assuming that everything's okay. Now, if you're asking the questions and a person is not telling you, that's one thing. Because now I go back to what something else I was told as a kid, a closed mouth don't get fed. So if I'm asking what are the issues, I'm asking you, am I doing my job? And I ask you to evaluate me. I ask you to tell me what the issues are, and you don't do it. Then that's on who? You. It's not on me. That's on your head. If I've asked the questions and I'm trying to find out. What?
Sean said you need some water or maybe it's your retainer.
It's these retainers.
So she told me to bring you a glass of water.
I can't drink that. It's these retainers that are they're making fun of me because
you want some water?
That's not going to change it. It's the retainers.
Okay.
I told you if I'm talking funny, it's these retainers. They're just driving me crazy. Maybe that's better. Maybe if I just remove the top one so now it should be a bit better because I got these retainers in today and got to put my braces off. Got my braces off and the retainers are driving me crazy. Got it. Listening with a couple of people who are asking questions. All right, what questions are they asking? You give me the questions and I'll make sure I answer the questions, you know. But then what about your vows in sickness and in health, good and bad times? Well, see, here's the deal. I believe what happens with relationships and when we talk about the wedding vows, I don't believe we really discuss the wedding vows to the fullest. We don't sit down with anybody to make sure we have the same understanding of what sickness and health means. We don't sit down with anybody and make sure what better or worse means. Okay. For me to slap my wife and then tell her, well, you married me for better or worse, that's no. Because I don't believe if I was slapping her before we got into marriage, I don't believe she would have married me. You know, for her to be hitting me in the head with a skillet and then she tell me, well, you married me for better or worse. No, because if you were hitting me in the head with a skillet before we got married, I wouldn't have married you. Now, if you hit me in the head with a skillet and I marry you anyway, well, I went into that knowing what you were going to do. That's it. And so sometimes we have to sit down and really see, are we on the same page when it comes to sickness and health? Okay, sickness and health, got it. But if you just out doing foolish stuff, you want to ride down the street and do wheelies on your motorcycle. You want to go cliff diving without parachutes and break yourself up. No, that to me that's foolish stuff. So now if you come down with cancer or something that ain't your fine. If you want to eat yourself to where you just overweight and got diabetes, high blood pressure, and all the rest of it, and you just refuse to do anything about it, see, I got issues with certain things when it comes to what we call the wedding vows and what we say that we're in there for. Now, my wife just want to eat and just refused it. She just refused, not because there's something wrong. She just decides she don't want to do nothing about it. I'm going to eat bonbons and cakes and pies, and I'm going to blow up for 300 pounds, and I'm going to get diabetes, and I'm going to get high blood pressure, and I'm going to have cholesterol problems and heart attack. I didn't sign up for that. Because if you would have told me that in the beginning, then if you would have told me your definition of sickness and health meant that, I wouldn't have signed up for it. But you said in the beginning, you're going to take care of yourself like I'm going to try to take care of myself. We're going to do the best we can to maintain a healthy lifestyle that we may be pleasing one to another. We're going to maintain, I'm not going to curse at you. You're not going to curse at me, because if I cuss you, I nail you. Well, you got mad for better or worse. No, that's not worse. And I think we twist this stuff, and they're in there, and then we get bound by the church and other people, and we stay in this stuff. No, I don't know about y'all. Maybe I'm wrong, but I can't do it. That's why I was so adamant in the beginning of a relationship to discuss what for better or worse. What does that mean to you? You tell me your definition. You tell me your definition of sickness and health. You tell me your stuff. Let me go back down here. Hold on 1 second. Y'all type fast and I can read. Got these couple listening to laugh out loud. Your second wife is just looking out for you. Thank you, second wife, for looking out for me. I had to remove that top retainer. They asked, what about sickness, poor, worse? Okay, let's deal with that. Sickness I dealt with sickness. Let's deal with poor. If I come home and just say, you know something, I made a decision. I'm not going to work no more. And if we gotta go live in a cardboard box, you married me for better or worse, rich or poor. No. Didn't sign up for that. That's not rich or poor to me. Rich or poor to me if I lose a job. Okay? If I lose it, because we all cool with richer, you know. But if I lose the job and we gotta go and do different things, we gotta move in with a parent until we can get back on our feet and get things going. That's one thing. But for a person just to come home and say, you know something, I'm not gonna work no more, and I'm not gonna take care of nothing else anymore. You married me for richer or poor? No, I didn't. Because that's not poor. That's crazy. I don't know about y'all, but that's ludicrous to me. They are not talking about vows. They are talking about loss of a business, physical ailments. Second question, where is the limit? How fat, how poor? Let's see, you have an enemy over here. Well, when we talk about let me deal with the first one. You said they're talking about loss of business. Okay, that's for better or worse. We lost the business. Okay? We're talking about physical ailments. I have a total knee replacement. I have 6 screws in my back. My shoulder's bad. I'm dyslexic. I have dystonia, which is a muscle movement disorder. Okay? So I got a list of things. But before I married my wife, she knew that the knee was bad. She knew I had 6 screws in my back. She knew I was dyslexic. She knew I had dystonia. I let her know all these things in the beginning. Now, do I do crazy stuff on the knee that it may just jack up? Am I jumping downstairs and acting? No, I try to take care of the knee. I try to make sure I don't lift stuff that is too heavy for me to lift because of the screws in my back. I make sure I keep my stress level down where the dystonia don't flare up. Me being dyslexic, I make sure my cell phone, my computer, I can talk to my cell phone, my computer, all of them type for me. So I make sure there are ways that my stuff is taken care of. I'm not just sitting back saying, you know, you married me for better or worse. You know, I'm making sure I take care of that stuff. Now, you said here, also, you said, second question, where is the limit? How fat? How poor? Now, how fat? Well, just recently I got up to 240 pounds. I took my butt back to the gym. I started working out. Why? Because I didn't need to be 240 pounds. At 50 years old, I didn't need to be a 44 in the waist. You know, I mean, there's some things that I believe we have to do, and we got to stop using the wedding vows to hide behind or these excuses saying, well, you know something, you married me this way. Just deal with it. No. Or you married me, and this is just the way I've gotten. No, there's some things we can do. There's some steps we can take, even if it's cutting back on what you eat, if it's just walking a day, or there's some things we can do, but we just want people to accept us any kind of way. Now you say, how poor? Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about somebody just quitting a job, sitting down and saying, hey, I ain't gonna do nothing? Or you lose a job, or you just don't have the ability or the knowledge or even maybe the mental capability or the education to make a lot of money. Well, the person knew that going into the relationship with you. If they wanted a doctor, they should have married a doctor. If you were married, when my wife married me, she knew that the work I did was a laborer, I did construction work, and all the rest of it. I'm not ever going to be a brain surgeon, an attorney, or any of this stuff. So this is what you have. So now, that's what I'm talking about. But now, if a bill's due and something needs to be done, will I go out and do what I need to do to get the money legally to make it happen, to make sure we live a decent life? For sure. But now, the point is, when we talk about poor, what is poor? You know, I mean, is poor $60,000 a year? Is poor $100,000 a year? Is poor $50,000, $20,000? Because there are people that make $100,000 a year and still not happy. There are people that make $60,000 a year and they in total bliss. So now this is what I'm saying. So these are things that have to be discussed in the interim of the relationship. And if they're not discussed, we go into it half-cocked. We go into it with the gate sooner or later go open because we didn't discuss it. What is your standard of poor? Tell me what does it mean when we talk about health? What does it mean when we talk about sickness? What does these things mean to you? Because I think we all have different thoughts and things in our head that mean different things to us. So now if I don't discuss with you in detail exactly what they mean, well, now I'm going in it without the knowledge. If you go right now to a car dealership, you go buy a house, they give you a contract, and they lay everything out from large print to small print. They don't want you going into the contract misinformed. But we go into contracts, relationships, misinformed. We didn't get all it. Now, like I said, we go into it. We didn't ask, what can we do to keep gates closed? How much communication do you need? How much sex do you need? How much intimacy do you need? Well, tell me what you need. We just go into it since we grown feeling we got it all together and we know what to do because we make them smile in the beginning. They laugh and we everything. But no, it gets past that. So I need to know exactly what you need to let you know if I'm capable, qualified to fulfill the obligation I'm about to go into. Let's see. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you beat up. I'm just trying to help. My neighbor said she has supported him for 36 years, and she's not changing. Let's see, supporting him for 36 years, and she's not changing. Help. She supported him for 36 years. Okay. Here's the problem with you supporting him for 36 years. You supported him for 36 years. And where in there, why didn't you stop years ago? Now, I can just give you law. If we deal with the law and somebody supports somebody for umpteen years and you divorce them and they never worked, they never did anything, the law states that you have to take care of them at that level of life. That's what happens with a lot of these stars and people get divorced and say, okay, I didn't work because they didn't want me to work or they allowed me to stay home. They took care of me. So now I still need to live at this certain lifestyle. I still need this amount of money coming in to maintain myself. And I'm surprised that this person supporting somebody for 36 years. She agrees with you in principle. Bishop, this woman said to me, she's about to have, she shouldn't have been allowed to measure his You didn't just say that, did you? She should have been allowed to measure his pecker. I'm crying. Well, let me tell you, my wife asked me in the beginning, Lady Newell, can you just come here right quick? My wife asked me in the beginning that question, and I'm just being real with you. She asked me that question. She asked me that question because, and see, that's something else. You know, like I said, we don't communicate to the fullest. Just to get, somebody wrote here, the Cedric's having a conversation over here. They wrote, she agrees with you in principle, laugh out loud. Bishop, this woman said to me, she should have been allowed to measure his pecker before they got married. She should have been allowed to measure, she should have asked.
Why not just ask the question?
See, that's what I said. Now, that's from Lady Newell. The question should have been asked, you know.
And be honest about it. You know, on one hand, you are kind of trusting somebody to be honest.
Right.
But, you know, if you have a relationship where you both are comfortable talking to each other and you've made it a safe place, then just ask the question and say, and, you know.
This is what I'm saying, so thank you, sweetie.
I mean, because how would she like it if he asked her why?
Thank you, sweetie. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm talking about. When we talk about gates being left open, we enter relationships without asking things before we enter the gate that we can close the gate behind us. What I mean by that, if you ask the question in the beginning, I got a choice to enter the gate or say, you know, some don't want to go in that yard, because the bottom line is they don't have in there exactly what I need. She said church people don't ask, but didn't ask back then. I'm trying. Let's see, I'm trying under this. Well, you know something, and I'm sorry they didn't. But that's why I do what I do, because I'm trying to give the church a new look on life, a new look into Scripture. The Bible, okay, now the Bible says no man builds a house unless he counts up the cost. We've gone into relationships and didn't count up the cost. We've gone into relationships and didn't ask any questions. We just assumed everything. We just assumed that a person wanted to do this or wanted to do that. We didn't ask the question, you know something? Do you like it like this? Or are you willing to do that? Or do you like to talk? Do what do you feel about intimacy? We didn't ask any of these questions, and the people we went to sit before for counseling were the pastors behind the desk that didn't have anything but a Bible. A lot of them didn't go to college. A lot of them didn't have doctorates in counseling. They didn't have anything. All they did was sit behind the desk and tell us according to what they felt the Scriptures were saying. Not understanding. Okay, I believe. Let me explain it this way. I believe in sexual compatibility. Okay, we're all sexual compatible. If a man has his organ and a female has her organ, they fit together because that's the way God made us. But sexual desire and things you like are totally different. There's where we draw the line. That's where the point comes in, because I may like one thing And you may like another thing. And even though they fit together, somebody else is like, somebody else, I don't know what she said measure. I don't know if it's too small, too big, what. Somebody else may like this gigantic thing. Somebody else may like a small. We don't know. But unless we communicate, the Bible said, how can two walk together unless they what? Agree. But we don't even want to communicate the agreement. We don't really want to talk because the church says you're not supposed to discuss it. Why? Why shouldn't I discuss it? I'm going into a covenant contract. I'm going into a covenant with this person. I should be able to discuss everything. I should be, okay, hold on a second. One quick second. I should be able to discuss everything that's right here. Hold on. Give me a second. I'm going to find it. Where is it? Oh, that's not the one I want. Hold it. I'm going to find it. Okay. The wedding vows. I should be able to discuss everything here. It says, and this isn't the one I want, but I'll even add in the other one. It says, for better or worse. Now, I should be able to discuss with my spouse or the person I'm going into a relationship what for better or worse means. For rich or poor, sickness and in health, to love, I should be able to discuss what love means and to cherish until we are parted by death, as God is my witness. Okay, now, there's another wedding vow that makes a statement. It said, and forsaking all others, keeping to thyself. I should be able to discuss what that means. Basically, giving myself just to you. Now, what does that mean? If I can't discuss that and we can't really come to an agreement what that means, the Bible said, a husband, render unto a wife her due benevolence, which means her sexual privilege. Well, now, what does that mean to you? Does that mean every night? Does that mean once a week? Does that mean once a month? And then when we talk about it, the Bible says marriage is honorable in the eyesight of the Lord, the bed undefiled. What is the undefiled bed to you? Is it missionary? Is it this? Is it that? We need to be able to discuss this because, see, I'm going in, go back to what I said. I'm supposed to be going into this until death do us part. How am I going to go into something until death do us part, and I haven't even come to a full understanding of what any of this means to you? Okay. I totally agree. That everything should be discussed. Right. You have one here, man. She says that, let's see, you have one here. She says they never were able to discuss a lot of things because many subjects, many subjects 36 years ago. Right, they weren't able to discuss many subjects 36 years ago, and that cut just out for a minute. I hope you still caught me. They were taboo, and you're right. But see, now here's the point. I don't understand. I'm lost. How can we say something's taboo when the Bible discusses it? What is the Book of Songs of Solomon about? It wasn't no fairy tale. It was about a man talking about a woman, and they were talking about getting busy. That's what it was about. So how can we say taboo? How can I say it's taboo to talk about how much money you make? Nowadays, we should ask a person, well, what's your credit like? Do you have credit? You know, are you a pedophile? What's your record? Nowadays, I believe, and see, this is something that keeps the gate closed. Start Googling jokers. Google her. Google him. Run their name through the computer. See if any stuff come up. Do a background search. You can pay some of these people $19.95, and they'll run a whole credit history, background, and everything else on a person. And people say, well, that's it. I just got to trust them. No. I don't know you like that. Because people lie. People don't tell the truth. So now, since people don't tell the truth, I need to protect me because I'm going into a covenant with you, so I need to make sure I'm protected when I go into this covenant. I need to make sure that there ain't no skeletons that are going to pop out the closet. Got to make sure you – no, that's why I say when we get down to it, that's why I say tell me what you like. That's why you got to ask these questions. I don't need to get married to you, and then you want to do some crazy stuff, and I'm looking at you going, I don't want to do that. And then when I don't do it, now what did I just do? I just left the gate open. Because, see, if you're used to doing it, somebody else was doing it, and it's something you feel you need, you like, and you desire, you're going to go out and you're going to get it elsewhere. If you're a person that likes to lay in bed and talk, and I don't like to lay in bed and talk, we need to discuss that. Because then we get married, and I don't lay in the bed and talk, well, now you're going to go lay in the bed with somebody else and talk. You like to do this, and I don't like to do so. This is what I'm talking about. What I'm saying now to you guys that are already in relationships, that are trying to make this come together and be whole, you got to sit down and talk to that person you're with and ask them. We need to come together and figure out what I need to do to make sure the gates stay closed. If I love you, long as it's let me put the disclosure there. Long as it's within reasoning. Because some people like some stuff, and it may not be in with the reason. It may not even be within the boundaries and the confines of the Word of God. So let me say, long as it's within the confines of the Word of God, within reasoning, and you're not going against my moral values and my principles and my core values, and you're not hurting my body, let's discuss. Let's talk about it. Because I don't want to make sure the gate stays closed, so I want to make sure I'm doing all that I need to do, that you're being totally fulfilled on this side of the gate, and you won't be wandering out there looking for anything. Or when you leave, you won't leave uncovered, wide open, and then some other man is telling you or some other woman is telling you what they would do to you, how wonderful you are, and all the rest of it. They're giving you the communication, the attention, the intimacy that you should be getting from me. So let me ask you the question, am I giving you all that you need to stay in the yard? My neighbor said, where were you 36 years ago? I told her, you were 36 years ago. No, I wasn't in junior high school. 36 years ago, I was just coming out of high school. Probably, let me see, I'm 51 now. So, yeah, 36 years ago, I graduated high school in 1983. So I was probably just coming out of I was still in high school. No, I was coming out of high school, right off of there somewhere. That's where I was. And but even though, sis, it's been 36 years, still you have time because, like I say, this is my theory. Long as we're in the land of living, tomorrow can be changed. But now you're willing to make the changes. Everything can be changed. It's just that you have to stand up. If you've been taking care of somebody for 36 years, so sooner or later, you got to get a Popeye spirit. And everybody has to get a Popeye spirit. And Popeye spirit says, I've had all I could stand, and I can't stand no more. And you stand up and you say, you know something, we got to make some changes here. She likes this teaching. Great job. And sometimes we have to stand up and make some changes. The hardest thing to do is make changes. The reason why most people don't want to make changes is because we're creatures of habit, we're creatures of comfort, and we get used to certain things. And changes is scary. That's why we don't even want to die, because it's a change. I don't know what's on the other side. Now, if you could see, if you literally could see what's on the other side, and if you literally could see into heaven and see what it's like, and God showed you and took you there, I guarantee you'd be ready to leave this earth today. But since we don't know, the Bible says we change from mortal to immortality. You don't know what that's like. You've only been mortal. You've never been immortal. You've never had immortality. So you don't know what it's like. So now the bottom line is change is scary. That's why people don't want to grow old. I know what it's like to be young. I knew what it was like. I know what it's like to be 21. I don't know what it's like going to be. I don't know what I'm going to reach, what it's going to be like when I'm 60. I don't know what I'm physically going to be like. That's why people don't want to lose hair. You know, you lose your, I don't know what I'm going to look like bald. And I'm not even willing to cut it all off and take the chance to see what I look like. You know, I mean, so there's just certain things. We as human beings don't like change. But here's the point. Change is inevitable. You cannot stop change. Right now it's 9:10. It's going to change to 9:11 no matter what I say, no matter what I do. The only way it's not going to change to 9:11, and it still will change to 9:11. The only way it's not going to change to 9:11 for me if I die, but it'll still change to 9:11 for you if you stay alive. So change is inevitable. Change happens to everything and everybody. So I tell a person, well, since change is going to happen, let it work in my favor. Let me take the time to change my life and change some things. If it's been going one way, let me change directions. If I've been taking care of somebody for 36 years, you know something? If you want to be here and you want to stay here, we need to start some changes happening. We need to start some new stuff. We done did this for 36 years and it ain't worked. We need to change some stuff today. What needs to change? This needs to change. I wrote out a list. You can read it, ponder it, do whatever, but this needs to change. Even if it's sexual, this needs to change. If it's finances, this needs to change. If it's the way you treat me, this needs to change. It's up to you to make the change. And we're so been taught as Christians, pray. The Bible says faith without works is dead. I can believe all day long. I can pray till I'm blue in the face. But if I don't put the faith and my works together, that's what moves. That's the activating force. A car. I got a car that has an engine, but no gas. I got gas, but no car. I need car with an engine and gas. Put the two together, and it'll move. Same thing with faith. Same thing with change. Now, if I want change, then I got to take my faith, put it with my action, and now say, okay, we're going to move. People may not, the person you with may not want to change. Then you start changing. You start doing stuff different. And either they catch up, they get on board, or that old saying said, get on board or get left. And there are a lot of people that have gotten left because they wouldn't get on board. I don't know. I'm just one that believes that I'm not going to stay stuck. I don't see in any of the Bibles that I have, no matter what version, whether the NIV, whether the King James, whether the New Living, I don't see any place in any Bible where God is stuck. God was a forever moving, changing God. Even though he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That meant in principle. But he's still changing. The earth is forever changing. The water runs along the rocks and washes rocks away. And the Grand Canyon didn't start off the way it did. Water washes against a rock to where it breaks off bits and pieces. That's how we get what? Sand. So everything is forever changing. So everything's forever evolving. So when are we as Christians going to change? But no, we told you got to stay that way because you're a Christian. No, I don't. I can change right along with everything else. I don't change principle. I stick with the principle of the Word of God. I stick with my Bible. I don't change this. This is forever stays the same. The Bible said that the earth may pass away, but His Word never changes. But now, in His Word is changed for me. The Word stays the same, but in His Word it's changed for me. Because you can't tell me it's not changed for me because when I got saved, it changed me from a sinner to a saint. My God, it changed me from a sinner to a saint. It changed me from a liar to a person that tells the truth. It changed me from a backbiter to somebody that won't backbite. It changed me from a whoremonger to somebody that says, you know, I'm going to stay faithful. It changed me from an adulterer to somebody that says, I'm not doing this no more. It changed me from a fornicator to somebody that's in a committed relationship. So the Bible changes us. So in essence, it changes us. Let it allow you to let it change your relationship. Thank you, Pastor Lewis, for speaking and teaching truth. I appreciate it. Appreciate it, brother. Keep up. Thank you. I'll say this. The Bible should change your relationship. Okay. When you first met the person you were with, you were in love with them. And this is a misconception we have. Oh, if you ask me today, am I in love with my wife? No, I love my wife. Because we don't find in the scripture, the Bible said God, it don't say God was so in love with the world. It says for God loved the world that he gave. So now love is the second half. Because you can be in love with something today and fall out of love with it tomorrow. So you grow from being in love to love. You know, if you got what, you can just fall in it. You grow from being in love to love. I when I first met her, I was in love with her. Man, I'm like, ooh, girl, fine. Girl got it going on. But now I've come to love her. What does that mean? That means there was a change. You can change. The relationship can change. You just have to want it to change. You have to say, you know something? There have been some gates open. Because that's what you're feeling. You're feeling the gates are open. There have been some gates open. 36 years, this gate has been open. There's some other gates open. I'm ready to close the gate. And the only way I'm going to close the gate is going to take a change. So I thank God for you guys this evening tuning in with us by way of Blog Talk Radio and those that have tuned in with us by Facebook Live. I really appreciate you. So, Pastor, is it okay to teach or preach about sex, fornication, with biblical principles? Yes, it is. It is. It's very okay to teach about sex, fornication, with biblical principles. You know, the bottom line is the Bible is our biggest instructor about all of them, you know, but nobody wants to teach about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. You know, everybody, you know, marriage honorable outside the Lord, bed undefiled. You know, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to tell the ins and the outs and the do's and the don'ts, you know, and I teach them. As you can go back and listen to our Blog Talk Radio shows, I teach them from a practical standpoint. Go back and listen, I think it was not this past February, but February before last, in our archives on Blog Talk Radio. And we did, I think it was, January, the month of January leading up to Valentine's Day. We did a whole month or a whole series on sex. You know, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, according to Scripture. We didn't give you anything that would, like the old church, mislead, misguide, tell you can't do this and you can't do this. We gave pure Bible. So, I believe it's okay. You know, the Bible, if we as the Christians don't get it in the Word of God, where are we going to get it from? So I thank God for you guys also listening on tonight. Thank God for those that listen by way of Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to get out of here. I thank God for you. Thank God for you. As Lady Newell would say, my final thought on this evening is just make sure you do everything you can to keep the gates closed. So if a person wanders out, let it be on their own accord, not let it be that you did something to leave the gate open. God bless you guys. Wrong one. See how good I am without my wife? She keeps me together. There we go.
Doctor and First Lady News, we want to thank you for listening and sharing in today's program. We hope that you were blessed. We love you and we're praying for you. And remember, meet us back here next week at 1 p.m. right here on
Relationship Central.